What are you doing listening to me? Why are you taking the effort to listen? You protect yourself in so many ways so you cannot not gather the energies to understand, to find any sense of inner peace. This is why Lhotse said the sage has no concern for himself, but makes the concern of others his own. This is not popular at all in this world, not even remotely. Our concerns are our concerns, and other people's problems are their problems, not my own. This is the attitude we have. And in demonstrating this attitude, we make it impossible to understand the higher, more exquisite insights, teachings that life works from. Life is concerned with others. Life is very beautiful. It is about oneness. But when my concerns are more important to me than those that concern you, and we're talking about, spiritually speaking, about entering into the mystique of the mystical, when your issues of misunderstanding, your issues of fear, your issues of confusion, your issues of doubt, well, they are very important to me as a teacher. I put down the concerns of my own for the sake of trying to help you. This is the goodness that Lhotse speaks of. For many years, I struggled with my own concerns. And I realized that they were no different than anyone else's. And in being aware of that, anything that I could overcome within myself, I could share with my students. I could share with the people that I dearly love. The problem is, we are so selfish. We are so self-oriented that we are not basically interested. This is what I found in my students. They are not basically interested. They are only interested in their own concerns. And they have protections that they use, alibis, beliefs, selfish wants. Making their evil look normal or good, aggrandizing that evil, and putting themselves in a position where they can make themselves another feel that, well, they're nothing more than hapless victims to other people or conditions. Lhotse says, the sage is good to those who are good. He is also good to those who are not good. This is the virtue of good. This is a very difficult thing for people to understand. I think my students basically do understand it. They just don't like it. You may not like it either. And this is why you cannot open up your life to inner peace. This is why my words fall on deaf ears. You're not interested in becoming selfless. You have no compassion. You have no mercy for yourself. Hence, you would not have it for others. I find that most of my students, most of the people I know, are living for their parents, who are long gone, but they live and talk and act as though their parents are alive, that there is someone overshadowing them. They miss. This is all in the unconscious mind. I know you think that that's not happening to you, but it is. I found it happening in me and in other people. Many other people. So the shift came when I could understand what it means to be willing, deeply, profoundly willing. Not my will, but thy will be done. That attitude, not my will, but thy will. This is the essence of it all. The essence of love. Our lives are loveless. We live insecure, seeking security in very ugly things within us, like rationalizing our evil, our selfishness, our pride. Let me give you a little story. This story is really about my students and how I look at them. If you really want to know how I look at my students, how I look at my friends, how I look at people who are near and dear to me, this is how I look at it. A king told a carpenter that he was needing a certain kind of table. The man that he had chosen to do this was elderly. He said, I can do this, but you're going to have to give me time. 3 days passed, and the old man disappeared in the forest. After 3 days, he came back. The king asked, it takes 3 days to bring a little wood for a table? The old carpenter said, sometimes it takes 3 days, sometimes 3 months. Sometimes you may not find the wood for 3 years. It's a difficult art. The king was puzzled. He said, please explain. Now, most kings would not do that. They'd be too arrogant.
Well, where's my table?
But he wanted an explanation. He said, what do you mean? Explain in detail. Well, the old man said, first I go on a fast, because only when I am on a fast does my mind slow down. My mind slows down, all thoughts slow down and begin to disappear, and then my aggressions begin to disappear. When I am no longer violent, then there is pure compassion and a love, a different kind of vibe. When I feel that vibe of no mind, then I go into the forest, because only through the vibe can I recognize the right tree. With aggression, I cannot find it. How do you find it when you're being ugly and aggressive? No, I need humility. So I go and ask the trees themselves whether one of them would be willing to become a table. I go, I look around, and when I feel that a tree is willing, that willingness can be felt only when I have no mind. So there is fasting, meditating, and when I become absolutely empty, I simply roam around the trees to feel which one wants to be a table. When I feel the tree fits and it has given me permission, I ask to cut a branch from that tree. The tree wholeheartedly accepts it, and the process begins. This is how I see my friends and my students. Are you willing? I have many students, many different kinds of students, but they're all the same. They do not value the virtue of goodness at all. It annoys them that I talk like this. They want to know how to make life fit what they want it to be. They want to know, how do you get life to cooperate with desire, ambition, and pride? There's a tremendous aggressiveness in us, a tremendous hostility. We adopt other people's lives and make them our own. We adopt our parents' lives and we make them our own. I watch people that I have loved for many years turn into their mothers and fathers that were not so hot. It's funny how students will gravitate towards the worst part of their parents, the worst part of anything, just to get what they want. They're not at peace with themselves. I see my students as trees in the forest. And I ask them, are you willing? Are you willing to become something else? Are you willing to awaken? Are you willing to have a great reveal? Are you willing to change form? Most are not. They like living in the forest. And while it is treacherous, to say the least, especially these days, they try to ignore it, the treachery. Virtue is goodness. What you're really looking for, whether you know it or not, is virtue. To be, so to speak, changed. Changed into something of a higher essence. This essence that I speak of cannot be spoken of. It has no words to it. You either get this essence or you don't. You either understand its premise in you as goodness or you don't. I have students who tell me they have a temper or they're moody or they just don't want to be inconvenienced. An authentic practice is an inconvenience. Believe me, it is. It disrupts everything that the human part of us wants to attach to. I have students and friends who have health problems or are dealing with psychological and emotional problems. They don't want to get to the core of it because they get so much sympathy from people, their family, their friends, who are equally unaware. So they just endure it, endure the pain or endure the suffering. Some students even make up alibis about it. It's amusing, if not sad, pathetic, actually. But this is what we do. The carpenter in the story is the teacher. He is patient. He looks for the tree that is willing. I look for the student that is willing. Willing to be changed from a tree, from a person, into a sentient being. Most people don't want this. It doesn't look prosperous to them. So when Lhotse says, the sage has no concerns for himself, but makes the concerns of others his own, what he is saying is he realizes the plight of other people, the difficulty of living in this world. He is aware. And so he seeks to help that part of people that they have no regard for. In fact, they have disregard for. And he does everything he can to present awakening, to present the great reveal. I've had students get the great reveal. We were working at a retreat once years ago, and one of my students, it happened. And she went, oh, after one of the meditations, she got it. She burst out into tears. And after that, she conveniently forgot everything, betrayed herself, because it wasn't quote unquote normal, because it wasn't something that would make her human part comfortable. We're not here to be comfortable. We're not here to have a quote unquote normal life. What do you think this is? What do you think this world is all about? Why do you think you and I have incarnated in it? The whole effort to understand the nature of our life in this world and its proclivity to hatred and fear is something to deeply realize. I have concerns for my students and my friends very deeply. I wander the forest looking for a student that might be ready, might be willing to change form. It is very difficult to find. Aggression is a very big problem in people. And their aggressions stimulate certain aspects of their brain and the chemicals in their brain and make them what I call warriors instead of lovers. And I don't mean that in a romantic way. To let love live you. This is the virtue of goodness and good. To let love live you. When I go to hospice, it is a terrifying and yet interesting experience for me. Terrifying in the way that I can see how myself and anyone else could be going through the death process just like these people are, trying to convince themselves they have people that love them or that they did a good job living or whatever, by how they leave money to their families or not. And the most interesting aspect of it all is that we all go there. We will all be there one day. And all the protection that we lived from to keep us from the significance of ourselves as love is our undoing. Everything you're living right now, proportionately speaking to love, is your own undoing. You have to see this for yourself. You can listen to this discourse over and over and over again and never truly understand the meaning of it. Or you can listen to it and become willing to live beyond the beyond, to find the essence of life itself. Once this is found, you become that sentient soul. You awaken your soul. Things begin to take on a new meaning. A new kindness enters into you. And kindness is a form of intelligence. In fact, in my estimation, it is the only true intelligence there is. Kindness, mercy, is intelligence. Let's meditate together. This comes from the Tao. Really listen to this and meditate with me on this. Once you grasp the essential behind the essence, you are free to act and live beyond evil and fear. Then you will be at peace with yourself.